This is 98.1 FM, Raglan Community Radio, Erirangi o Whaingaroa. Hello, kia ora. My name is Jason. I teach holistic health and healing, and welcome to Your Health, Your Choice, a show that guides you on your healing journey, helping you choose your own healing path. And today on the show, I have to help us on that path of healing and balance and harmony, Anita. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Jason. Thanks for inviting me.
Where are you calling in from?
So I'm a bit further north than you, up on the east coast, just north of Auckland. I'm Aussie by birth, but I live here in New Zealand now.
Okay, well, as long as you're cool, you're allowed to stay. And you are cool. Now, I came across you and there was this word that came up, human design. And I feel like I've heard it before, but I never dug into it. And apparently it's a big deal. A lot of people are into it and practice it and teach it and help people with it. So I wanted you to come on and to share what that is and to help enlighten me and the listeners on what human design is. Can you share what that is from your side?
Yeah, sure. I can give it a go. It's something I always find a little bit hard to define perfectly as well, but I'll do my best. So human design is a, I guess you could call it a typing system. So when I think of typing systems, automatically you think of Myers-Briggs, and there's all the personality typing ones, and then there's things like Enneagram and astrology, numerology. So it sort of fits somewhere in that system, but it incorporates elements of Western astrology, the Chinese I Ching system, the Hindi chakra system, and also quantum science. So it's a bit of an amalgamation of all of those aspects.
It sounds quite holistic.
Yeah. I find it to be probably the most holistic of all of those different typing systems, because it really incorporates mind, body, and soul. It sort of it looks at it through quite an embodied lens, whereas some of the others don't. Obviously, Myers-Briggs is very much about the mental processes. And with my background, I have a clinical health background as a naturopath, nutritionalist, herbalist. I've also done massage, craniosacral work. So I'm very much about the embodiment side of things as well. And I also find it to be extremely practical. It's some of this numerology, astrology is, you know, really awesome to learn about, and sometimes a little bit hard to bring into a practical application in your life, whereas human design is very grounded and practical. So that's what I love about it too. And you're right, it's kind of, I guess it's kind of new, the new kid on the scene a little bit. It's a lot bigger in the States, actually. So it's sort of sprung from there, and it's slowly making its way out to the corners like New Zealand.
Yeah, I kind of resonate with it now. I teach these 7 holistic lifestyle principles, and it's basically me taking all of what I've learned from all different philosophies, spiritual ideas, health practices, and just putting them together into practical things you can do. So it sounds like someone's done a very similar thing with all the different metaphysical readings of a person, putting all those different practices into one thing.
That sounds very interesting. I'd love to learn more from you later.
Well, I don't know if you're going to the Resolution Festival this year, but that's where I'll be teaching. So,
awesome.
I'll be presenting there, so that's awesome. Okay, cool. Now, you said you were a naturopath. How did you go from there to here?
Yeah, good question. So I learnt my naturopathy both in Australia and New Zealand. I finished up at Well Park in Auckland, and I practiced clinically for a few years, and then I realised I wasn't really into the clinical side of things. You know, we've certainly taught how to work in that way and analyse blood results and prescribe based on those very evidence-based kind of principles. And for me, there was something always missing about the emotional side of the person and what was going on in their life that I felt like wasn't really covered adequately just with naturopathy. So that led me to do some more training as a coach. And I had done a little bit of psychology way, way back as well. So yeah, I really went into that coaching side of things and just loved that a lot more than the clinical. So that sort of took over. And then human design has been my most recent passion, I guess. And I really got into that around 2019. So it's only been a few years, but I kind of went all in.
Yeah.
Especially while we had the time, right? With lockdowns and things like that, it was a really good opportunity. Yeah.
So with the clinical practice, were you finding you, did you have enough time to spend with people?
I did because I ran my own practice, so therefore I could really work in the way that I wanted. So yeah, I would spend an hour and a half as a first session with somebody, and you know, I pretty much spend that time with a human design reading as well, because I think it's really important to get to know the person and have that thorough discussion with them. And I know that that's not how the medical system works, with GP visits being sort of all of about 10 minutes. So I've always really liked that aspect of the holistic sciences, that it's really about getting to know the person properly in all aspects of their life. Yeah,
there's a saying in functional medicine where you don't treat the disease, but you treat the person.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I think that's really the gist of it, because if you're treating the disease, you're going to be using one standard protocol, but there's a reason why people express things differently, and you really need to look at what's going on for the individual. I think that's well, that
are you
was
saying that we're all different?
Yeah. Right. I am saying that, and that's actually, you know, individuation is one of the principles underneath all of this and all of the things that I've delved into. Yeah, I think it's hugely important, and that's why a lot of your standard protocols don't work.
Yeah, they are protocols. It's like one size fit all.
That's right. Yeah, and so with human design, it is really looking at you as the individual, as a unique you know, star beam, or whatever people like to say, or a unique expression of the creator. So yeah, it's about finding out what's really special and unique about you, what your strengths and gifts are, how you operate, how your energy flows, how you're designed to make decisions. And so some people come to human design because there's different layers, right? And so some of them will come and just learn their type, which I sort of think of as the top layer. And they stop there, and you know, that's okay, but it's really missing the point of the whole, you know, human design is so complex, and you can go as deep as you want. You can certainly learn a lot just from knowing your type, but I often find that people, if they stop there, they get a bit trapped and they start to look at it as though, oh, I'm a generator or I'm a projector, and this is, you know, they sort of keep themselves in that box.
Right, but there's a lot more nuance if you go deeper.
That's right, yeah. There's layers. And I think astrology is the same, right? You can either just learn your sun sign and go, well, you know, I'm a Scorpio or a Leo or whatever, and leave it at that, or you can actually get your full chart done if you know your time of birth, and really learn about the nuances, because it's also very much about your moon and your ascendant and your placements of all the other planets in the houses. Yeah,
all the horoscopes and the newspapers and magazines, those are just based on one sign, the sun sign, right?
Exactly. Yeah, so I think you know, they can be fun to read, but definitely take it with a grain of salt. it's not the full art and science of learning your natal chart. So I guess it's important to note with human design, the time of birth is a requirement as well.
Yeah, well, I wanted to give you mine, but I just don't know. All I know was in the morning between 10 and 12. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you manage to find anything on me?
So, that is one of the issues. Because to get the natal chart as accurate as possible, of course, you want the time of birth. And a lot of people, I mean, that's their sort of top question.
Yeah.
Sometimes I suggest, well, trying to find out, obviously, if they have parents alive, that's and asking, but a lot of parents, of course, forget. And a lot of our birth certificates and things don't actually have that information. So yeah, it can be tricky. There is a something called birth time rectification, which some astrologers actually offer as a service. And what they do is it's an in-depth inquiry into your life, and they try and pinpoint sort of the timeline of, major things that happened in your life and look at what was going on in the planetary systems to narrow down a birth time for you. So it's pretty in-depth and amazing that they are able to do that, but it's something I certainly don't offer. It's a specialist service. The other thing that we can do is if someone has a narrow window, like a couple of hours or a something like that, I can often run a whole bunch of charts across that time period and see what changes and what stays consistent. And so I can do a reading on the things that stay the same, obviously, and then there might be some things that change, and it's pretty difficult to take a guess. So I usually don't. I just let them know.
And I mean, have you had done it yourself, like as part of learning it?
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's how I got into it, was I found my own human design and I had a couple of readings. I might have had maybe three or so readings myself. I find it really helpful, actually, as a practitioner to always be, supporting other practitioners and learning from them as well. So, I'm constantly having sessions with other healers and readers and massage therapists and body workers and somatic practitioners. And I think it's something in our industry it's really nice to do. And we learn so much from others. So, yes, so that's how I got into it. And I was pretty fascinated. It seemed to explain a lot. And what I find actually when I give readings, because it's not a psychic or a predictive science, it's more like a blueprint of who you really are. So it's like giving you a manual of, this is you. This is you at your core, your being, and this is how you operate. And this manual will give you instructions on how to operate your being in a way that has more flow and ease in the world, right? And more joy, really, when you're really aware of your strengths and your what you're here to express.
No, that's so true, because when I was like, I had quite a few years suffering in depression and thinking dark thoughts, and it came down to I didn't know who I was or how I was or why I was, and everything I was doing was other people's standards or expectations and living up to what they thought I was and what they thought how I should be and what I should be doing. And so what I teach now at the, at the fundamental level, what I really teach is self-awareness. So raising that in people, and so they learn more about who they are and what they're all about. And it sounds like this is one of the perfect tools to do that.
That's beautiful. Yes, that's exactly what it is, and that's why a lot of people do get stuck in depressed states and anxiety and caught up in behaviors and lifestyles that really aren't them, but they're sort of through conditioning and other people's expectations and even sort of cultural and societal conditioning, they've found themselves in these states and unable to move out of them for lack of knowledge of who they really are and what they're capable of. So yeah, I find it a very empowering tool for that reason. And it is a tool. I like the fact you brought that word up. It's not the be
It's not,
all and end
yeah,
all.
it's not the answer.
It's just one part. Obviously learning your human design is not going to solve all your problems in life, because you have to actually get out there and do the work, and you have to put good nutrition into your body and move your body and take care of it in all the different ways. So yeah, it's a tool, and it's a very empowering, useful one, but it goes in the toolbox with all the other things.
Yeah, I think that's one thing we've been taught in the West is to think that one, especially when it comes to Western medicine, we're told that this is the answer when you're sick, when there's other practices, and those other practices have been sort of vilified and demonized, like homeopathy and even chiropractor and traditional Chinese medicine. We've been told, no, that's all woo-woo stuff. Just stick to the science, stick to medicine. But really, to me, Western medicine, it's a great tool for emergency situations, acute situations. But everything else, I think there are other tools that are a lot better.
I agree with you. And, you know, not to go down this rabbit hole, but if we just look what's happened in the last few years, it points that out very, very clearly, you know, there was one answer given, and all of the other preventative health things that actually work and are easy and are free of cost, mostly or low cost, were ignored and demonized, when in fact we'd probably be a lot better off if we'd just done all of those things, right?
I mean, you know, you got to look after yourself holistically, not just take one thing and think that's it. You got to but you know, it's how we've been raised. We've been raised in such a narrow-minded way of seeing things, and you know, that's why I've got nothing but compassion for my past self. You know, I didn't know any better. High levels of ignorance, and I've still got, you know, those certain levels of ignorance today, which is why I've got you on to help raise my awareness around this topic. But we've all got those, you know, parts of ourselves that we're still learning, and parts about life we're still learning, and I'm still learning that today.
Absolutely, and as am I. You know, we all have our blind spots. We've all got shadows still to work with. It's, you know, for me, I guess learning is a top value, and it's something I never want to finish. I want to be learning for my entire life. So, if you've got an open and curious mind and a willingness to really look at new information and take what resonates, then life is never boring.
I mean, it's one thing to be stubborn, but then it's another thing to be wrong. Like, if you think about it, do you want to be wrong? The answer is no, but the only way to not be wrong is to question yourself, question your beliefs, you know. And I've made it a practice to question at least one belief a year. Like, is this real? I've had this belief for a while. Is this still real today, what I believe about this topic or idea, or, you know?
Well, yeah, that takes a lot of courage, right?
Yeah,
because there is a lot of conditioning around being wrong, around making mistakes. And, you know, that's one aspect that we look at in human design in terms of, you know, the profile. There's line 3 in the profile is very much around an experiential, explorative way of life, where that's the only way to learn, right? Jump in, try it all, see what works, see what doesn't work. And then when we have conditioning that's put on that and tells us it's a mistake, you know, people stop trying and they stop questioning. And, yeah, that's where learning gets halted and self-development too becomes stagnant.
The term self-inquiry comes to mind, where you're questioning and presence as well, like being present to how you're feeling. You know, there's certain emotions which are labeled in society as negative. Sometimes we're taught we shouldn't be feeling these negative emotions, but if you can just think of an emotion as an energy that needs to be felt, not ignored, otherwise it will just grow. Just accept what's happening to you and be mindful and present with it. You'll be able to choose how you respond versus being automatically driven to react a certain way, like unconsciously.
That's absolutely right. I think of emotions as energy in motion, and that if we allow them to be that, to be energy in motion and to move through us and move through the body, there's nothing negative about that. You know, we're supposed to feel anger and sadness and grief and all of those things, because they all have a purpose. They teach us something, and they inform our next behavior if we allow them to be felt, acknowledged, move through without putting a negative meaning on top of that.
Yeah, if you're present to the energy that's with you right now, you get to consciously choose how to act with it. Whereas if you ignore it or you're ignorant of it, like it's there, but you just don't know, like you sort of suppressed it and that energy will then take over your body and make you take over your speech and your actions, and you'll be like, why am I doing this?
That's right. That's where the subconscious is informing behavior, and it can also cause dis-ease in the body, right? That's where it forms into something physical that's illness or disease or pain and tension. So often that starts with an emotion or a meaning put on that thought or emotion.
Yeah,
and one of the aspects of human design is that people are either emotionally defined or not, and the ones who have defined emotional centers have a natural wave of emotion that goes up and down. And it's really important and really enlightening for people to know this, because in our society we're often taught that, well, as you were saying, negative emotions are bad. And so, you know, if you're stuck down in the natural wave, but you're sort of stuck there for a little while and freak out about feeling depressed or sad or antisocial or low energy, then, you know, what often happens is you go to the doctor and you get diagnosed, labeled and medicated, which often doesn't help.
No. Yeah, and then you can end up becoming a permanent customer of that system.
That's right.
Because there's always side effects and drugs for the side effects and so on and so on.
Yeah. And then you have to look at who is that really benefiting.
Yeah. But yeah, so it sounds like human design is a great tool to provide clarity. And I mean, how have you found it affect people?
Yeah. So because, as I mentioned, because it's not a psychic tool or a predictive tool, I find that the response that I get to people learning their design isn't like, you know, wow, oh my God, I never would have thought that. Like, they're not completely knocked off their chair and sort of in surprise. It's more a deep resonance. Like the common reaction that I get is like, oh yes, that feels so me. That feels so resonant. Yes, that explains everything. It's almost like giving a reading to someone's almost like speaking to their soul in a way. Mm. That's how I think of it. It's bypassing the mental constructs that they might have made up about themselves, those stories, and it's speaking right to the soul. And then the reactions are often just this sort of really calm, grounded awareness. It's like I often get the words, you've given me a permission slip to just be myself. That's a really common reaction. And so I feel like it's very validating for people. And it's very helpful, particularly when they learn how they're designed to make decisions, because there are 8 or 9 different types of authority is what we call the decision-making design. And so some people are designed to really know what's right for them from a gut reaction in the moment. And other people, like myself, I'm emotionally defined, we need time to make decisions. And when I learned that for myself, I was able to adopt the phrase, thank you, but I'll think about that, to every big offer and opportunity and decision I had to make. And it's helped me enormously. You know, it gives me that time to really figure out what's right for me, rather than just jumping into something and then having regret and having to backpedal out of it. And then for other people, you know, really being able to trust their gut in the moment, that they do know, and that it's coming from wisdom in the body rather than letting the thoughts go round and round in the head. Yeah, so I see that as one of the aspects that really, really helps people.
So people become more connected or more embodied, more in tune.
Yeah, exactly, and more trusting of themselves and the way that they work. And it can also really help. Often I'll look at family dynamics too, or partnership dynamics. And when somebody understands that they sort of, they're designed this way and designed to make decisions this way, but their partner or their child is completely different, it just allows this freedom for each person to be their own, and some acceptance around that, rather than trying to push our loved ones into the same box as ourselves. You know, we can really see them for the individual that they are, and that the way they go about life is different.
So when it comes to human design, are there steps or outcomes that you get people to look at? Like, are there, is it one, two, three things, or how do you?
So I guess it's really different for each person. Well, that's the way that I work with it anyway. I can't speak on behalf of all human design specialists, of course, because some of them would use it in a very methodical way. And I know that some use it in corporate settings as well to sort of help team members know the differences in one another and how they work together best. But the way that I do it, I guess it's highly informed by my coaching background as well. So I really want to make sure that a reading or a mentoring session after a reading is focused on the person and what they're all about and what they want to be doing or not doing. Or So I tend to really adapt my sessions to the individual. The straight up readings are a little bit more methodical because I'm really explaining the basics of somebody's natal chart to them and how it all works. And so, yeah, that does have a bit of a formula to it, I guess. I often offer written reports too, because not everybody likes to be on Zoom, and some people still read, which is amazing, and enjoy that, and just really like to have, a printed out copy. So that's another option. But after we've done a reading, some people come back for a mentoring session, which is like a coaching session, but with the knowledge of their design to help us sort of hone in. It helps me hone in on how to coach them, knowing their decision-making design and where they might be struggling as well. So,
Cool. Oh, that sounds awesome. I've definitely got to get mine done.
Awesome. I'd love to do that.
Is there anything else you'd like to say or share about human design or the services you do?
I would say, look, if it piques your interest, yeah, definitely get a reading, if not from me, then from somebody, because, it's about finding the person you resonate with also. And there's lots of people offering it now, which is awesome. It's really growing. I know that when I first started diving into it, I did a lot of sort of Google searches and I was just trying to learn it on my own. And what I found was a lot of blogs and articles were just copy and pasting off one another. And it was sort of the same information, but it still didn't really explain it that well to me. There's a lot of terminology in human design. And when you're new to it, it can be like gobbledygook. It's really a little bit challenging to first come across it and then have all these people writing or copy and pasting all this info using all that terminology that you don't even really understand. So that's the one thing I found challenging to begin with before I started studying. So I try and convey it in a way that's not too heavy on jargon, and just breaks it down for people a bit easier.
Yeah. And you provide different reading. You said there was a written one.
Yeah. So there's an in-person reading on Zoom, which is about an hour and a half, sometimes can go over a bit. And then that's recorded, of course, so they've got the recording. And then there's a written report that I can do as well. And then I can do follow-up sessions, coaching and mentoring.
Cool. And where can people find you online?
Yeah, so where they can't find me actually is Facebook and Instagram.
Oh, no.
So
same here. You can't find me there.
I don't. That's the usual response, isn't it? I actually don't love social media, so I don't hang out there. But my website is the best place to go. So that's the W's, anitatoi.com, anitatoi.com. And I write a regular free newsletter from there. You can just read all about me and the services on the website. That's probably the best place to go.
Cool. Awesome. So there you have it. If you want to have an Aussie living in New Zealand, tell you about how you are on the earth and the big picture of the cosmos, Anita's your girl.
Thank you.
Cool. Well, thanks for coming on. That was an awesome chat. I learned a lot. I'm definitely going to do mine with you. So cheers. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you once again, Anita, for coming on. That was great. If you are interested in getting your human design reading, go to her website, anitatoy.com. I did get mine done recently, and it was great. I could see how my heart was open, and I was quite defined in my head, which is really true because I am in my head a lot. And just learning other aspects of me that I had a little inkling of but wasn't quite certain. And no, it was great. I'm all about self-awareness, and if this is another tool for increasing that, and it gives you a bit more clarity and more foundation of who you are and how you're being in the world. So I highly, highly recommend it. And that's it from me. So until next time, stay free, be yourself, know that you are loved, and that you are love. Kia kaha.